Hello there. Today we're going to be taking a look at the light sensor with user interface hands-on lab that's hosted over on Hackster.io. This project is going to leverage the devices for Microsoft IoT Core library. If you guys aren't familiar, you can check this library out at aka.ms/IoT devices. This is a library for bringing in various different devices into your Internet of Things projects for Windows IoT Core. For example, there's support for different analog to digital converter chips, which we'll be talking about in this hands-on lab, in addition to things like external LCD screens and things like switches, buttons, all that sort of stuff is supported within this library. Another thing that's of interest, if you did want to leverage this library, it's fully compatible with 36 of the 37 sensors included here in the SunFounder 37 module sensor kit for Raspberry Pi. So if you have this kit and you have this library, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do in terms of combining these sensors together to create really cool Internet of Things projects. So without further ado, let's go ahead and start creating our project. The first thing we'll do is launch up Visual Studio. And you can use anything that's Visual Studio Community Edition, the free version, up to and beyond. So I'm actually running professional here, but keep in mind this will work on any out-the-box version of Visual Studio. And the first thing we're going to do once this loads up is create a new project. So I'll do File, New, Project. We're going to go over here to Blank App for Universal Windows. So this is going to be a Universal Windows Platform App, so UWP, meaning that our code can technically run across a myriad of devices, including Windows Mobile, Xbox, and even HoloLens. I'm going to go ahead and type in Light Reader here for the application name and solution name. I'm going to have create directory for solution checked, and I'm just going to not bother with source control at this time. So I'll go ahead and click OK, and this will create our project. The first thing we're going to do once our project is created is add a reference to the IoT extensions library. So this is a built-in library. I believe this comes down with the tools that are included over here in the windowsondevices.com when you click on Set Up Your PC. So if you've not gone through this step, you might want to follow this. This is at windowsondevices.com. Click Get Started, and from here choose Raspberry Pi and make sure you set up your PC. So once we've got this all set up, we can hop into here, click on References, right click, and hit Add Reference. And down here under the Universal Windows section, we'll click on Extensions, and you'll see Windows IoT Extensions for the Universal Windows Platform. And go ahead and select that and click OK. Now that we've got that successfully added, the next thing we're going to do is add a reference to the devices for Microsoft IoT Core library. So it's interesting to note that not only is this code hosted on GitHub, this is really where we keep the source code for the project, we've also got pre-compiled binaries available for distribution through NuGet. So if you've not used NuGet, it's a popular package manager for distributing compiled DLLs and resolving dependencies and etc. for various projects within Visual Studio. So in order to add this, we'll go back to our project, right-click References, click Manage NuGet Packages, and from here, wait for this to load up. I'm going to type in microsoft.iot.devices in the search bar. And make sure you have Include Pre-Release checked. That'll guarantee that we get the latest version. So we're going to run this search on Microsoft IoT devices, and we get a single result here. We'll click that, and then we'll click the Install button. This informs us that it's going to bring down IoT.device core, IoT.device helpers, and IoT.devices. Go ahead and click OK. Once you've clicked OK, you'll see over here on the right, we now have a reference to Microsoft.iot.devices and our references tree. So with all this, we are now ready to go ahead and connect up our circuit. The first thing we'll want to do is wire up the ADC. Now what this is an analog to digital converter. You may be wondering why we're using this. The answer is that the Raspberry Pi by default only supports digital input and output over its GPIO pins, so there's no internal ADC. As a result, we have to wire one up outside of the Raspberry Pi. And to do that, I've gone ahead and indicated the pinouts here. And we'll talk about a few things going on in the circuit before I dive into the details. So you may notice, if you've watched any of my other videos, that there's a bit more going on with this circuit, and you'll notice that I've got something called a GPIO extension board. Sometimes these are referred to as a Pi cobbler. And you'll see the way that this thing works is you've got your GPIO pins over here on the Raspberry Pi. And what we do is connect a ribbon cable into there. And once the ribbon cable's in there, that gives us an interface with which to easily wire up to the pins of the GPIO on the Raspberry Pi using a breadboard. So this way I won't have to go back and forth consulting the pinout diagram here while making my circuit. So if you have one of these, it might make things easier. Although it's not required, you can wire these things directly into the pins if you don't have a GPIO expansion board. All that said, you might be wondering, how is it that I know how to wire this up, right? Where is this information coming from? So the way that we find this is you can just head on over to a search engine, type in the name of the chip. So in my case, I'm using the ADC0832. This is actually included in that SunFounder 37-in-1 sensor kit that I showed earlier. And the first result is this link to TI.com. And what I'm going to be looking for here is something called a data sheet. So here, I'm going to click on Technical Documents. And then within here, there's a data sheet. I'm going to go ahead and click to open that. And inside, you should see our familiar pinout diagram that's located within the tutorial. So if you're curious where this information comes from, generally a web search followed by data sheet or something like that can turn up the relevant information needed to figure out how to wire up your sensor or device or chip, whatever it may be. So back here, you'll notice on the chip, if you look at it really closely, there will be a notch on one end of the chip, and this actually helps you identify where the pins are on the chip. So to the left of the notch, and this is on any IC or integrated circuit, you'll see that pin 1 is given the cable select CS indication, and 2 is given channel 0, and 3 is given channel 1, 4 ground. So in a counterclockwise fashion, this then increases. And just to explain to you how this works here, this is a two-channel ADC, meaning that it can read two different chips depending, or two different sensors, two analog sensors, one off of channel 0 or one off of channel 1. And it uses something called 8-bit resolution. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Once you've got your ADC wired up, so again, you can consult this diagram or look at the listing we have here. You'll want the cable select to go to GPIO 18. So that would mean pin 1 of the chip, right? And then that would then go to GPIO 18, which is located over here on the Raspberry Pi. Again, you can see where having a GPIO expansion board might make this a little bit easier on you to wire up, although again, not necessary. So once you have that connected, you're going to want to connect up the light sensor. And so our light sensor actually has this signal pin, a VCC, and a ground. And what this indicates is that the VCC is really something that's called a reference voltage, and that is compared to the signal voltage. It's also used to power the chip, and so the discrepancy between that reference voltage and the signal is how we actually get a reading. So somehow this sensor is affected by photosensitivity to create a difference in the reading across the signal line that we can then use to interpret how much light there actually is present in the room. Similarly, we've got this ground wire that can just simply be connected over to the ground on the Raspberry Pi. So I've got mine connected here. You've got your signal wire, your VCC, and your ground. And once you've got that connected up, it should look something like this in the end. Keep in mind that that signal is routed to channel 0 on the ADC0832. So remember what I was saying earlier, we can technically read from two sensors, but we're only going to be reading from channel 0 in this particular project. So when looking at analog sensors, there's a little bit that you might want to be aware of. So all ADCs come with something called a resolution. And in the case of the ADC 0832 that we're using, according to the data sheet, this tells us it has a resolution of 8 bits. And what that means is that it has a range of 0 to 255 that it can provide us back. And so this is in contrast to something with, say, 12-bit resolution, which would give us 2 to the 12 minus 1, which is 0 to 4095 reading. So consider this when you're using an ADC in your project, that if it has a higher bit resolution, you'll get a higher fidelity reading, or more close and more exact reading, right? But for all purposes, this 8-bit ADC is going to be very useful in telling us whether there's light present or not in our project. But just keep in mind, you can even go as high as something like 24 bits, which is a really large number here, as you can see. So this is like 16,777,215. That's a lot of fidelity, right? So if you need that fine-tuned precision reading across your analog sensor, make sure you invest in something with a higher bit rate there. So another thing to keep in mind is the ratio. So a value of 0 to 255 is useful, but what we want to do is get this between 0 and 1. And the reason why is because that gives us more of something that's easier for us to think about, right? So if 1 means full-on sunlight, right, and 0 means absolute darkness, right, that's something that we can look at and can be useful, as opposed to, say, a value between 0 and 255, or even worse, 0 and 4095, right? So the first thing we're going to go do is, remember, this is a universal Windows platform, and this is Raspberry Pi, so it's got HDMI out. So we can actually go ahead and create a user interface for our project. And this is going to make a lot of sense, because remember, we're trying to read values between 0 and 1. So why not build us a progress bar that can show us what that looks like, right? So what I'm going to do here is follow these instructions. You'll see it says open the Solution Explorer and double-click mainpage.xaml. So down here, I've got the mainpage.xaml file. And this is our bare user interface. So just by default, this is what we get, a normal page with a grid inside here. And these instructions are telling us to add the following XAML, XAML, which is a user interface language for Windows. I'm going to go ahead and copy this. This code will embed a progress bar into our user interface. So that's all we had to do there. And keep in mind, this is pretty cool, right? We're going to actually get visual feedback from this circuit on a user interface, right? This is really cool and really highlights some of the power of the Raspberry Pi and some of the Windows IoT core, right? So I can be able to see what's happening in this circuit on my user interface. That's really cool. So if you're not sure how this should look, you can consult this image here. This is the complete XAML file. So you want this to go in between the grid component here. So you've got this grid, and inside here, this is where I would place my progress bar. Okay, now we're getting very close. So we need to add some using statements to the code behind for the XAML. So all user interface files and Microsoft projects have this code behind file here, the mainpage.xaml.cs. What I'm going to do here is add these using. So these are going to include libraries that we're going to leverage within this project. So I'm going to hit this using IoT device core .adc.sensors.gpio and .ui. You can see this, and this makes sense because we're going to leverage an ADC, we're going to leverage a sensor, and we're using the GPIO, so we need to bring these in so we can interface with them. You'll notice Visual Studio by default has these grayed out. That means we're not utilizing any code yet that is taking advantage of any of the methods inside those libraries that we just referenced. Now what we're going to do is we want to have our user interface start to be able to activate once the main page is loaded. So what we're going to do is, you'll see this initialize component method. We're going to go ahead and add in here a subscription to the event main page loaded. So down here we say this dot loaded plus equals, which means it's going to create a subscription to the main page loaded method. So this method doesn't exist yet. We're just trying to subscribe to it. So As Visual Studio is trying to help you here, it can tell you show potential fixes. We can actually generate this method. If I click that, not only will it generate it, it'll also give it the right method signature to be able to utilize that. So simply by adding this.loaded, which is an event off of page, we can then make this main page loaded method or event handler that will fire when this event is triggered. So you'll see here, I've got my main page loaded, and the way Visual Studio created it for me looks exactly like what we could have created manually. The only difference being I'm going to get rid of this throw new not implemented exception because we are going to implement some logic inside here. So let's look at how we're going to initialize the ADC chip. So we've got this method where we want to start the GPIO controller and create something called an ADC manager. This is actually going to come from the IoT devices library that we've had linked earlier and brought in through NuGet. And we're going to create an instance of it that utilizes the ADC 0832. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this and paste this into our main page loaded method here. So you'll see this uses GPI controller, which grabs the GPIO controller, basically just gets it ready for initialization so we can use it. Then we create something called an ADC provider manager. And we add to this ADC manager, whether you're using one ADC or multiple. So keep in mind, this manager will allow you to use more than one ADC in a project. Since we're only using one, we're just going to create a new instance of the ADC 0832. And inside here, we are giving this some designations here, like the chip select pin will be on pin 18, clock on 23, and date on 24. And if you notice earlier when we were looking at the wiring up of our ADC to the Raspberry Pi, these pinouts actually correspond to where we were saying to wire these together. So 18, 24, and 23, etc., are used here mainly because that's what we've designated in code. So you might be able to swap those around. It depends. But to make sure that this works, you'll just want to go ahead and follow this as we have written it. You can see here how that is tied to the code that we have here. And once we've got all this, you'll notice I've got one itty-bitty error here, and that is because I've gotten a wait here. So due to me using Visual Studio to create the main page loaded handler, this is a call that requires that the method be marked async. So I'm going to go ahead and add the async keyword up here, async void, and you'll notice that error then goes away. Now the next thing we're going to do is create a light sensor. So right below the code that we just wrote, we're going to create the light sensor, and you'll notice that this is of type analog sensor. So this is a type that's created within the IoT devices library, and we tell this that it's on ADC controller 0, which corresponds to the ADC 0832, on channel 0. So remember earlier when we were wiring this up, we wired this to channel 0. So this should all start to click and make sense now why we're doing this. And we want to create this light sensor reading changed handler here. So again, I can utilize Visual Studio to generate the method for me. And we've got this light reading changed method created now. And we should see something like this so far. So you can double check your work, make sure it looks like the following. And what we're going to do here is inside this event handler, we're going to add some code to update the user interface based on the readings that occur from the light sensor. So I'm going to go ahead and remove this not implemented exception, paste in this code, and you'll see here a few errors. We'll see why that is in just a moment. Again, due to not marking this method async, we're getting an error. And if you hover over this, that's indicating that the await operator is being used. So again, I'm going to mark my method async. So be careful about that. If you're using Visual Studio to generate methods, it may not know that you're intending to create an async method. So as soon as I do that, all the red lines go away. So in case you're seeing that error, that's the simple fix for that. And let's look at this code. So it basically looks at the reading and it inverts it, so it subtracts it from one. An inversion basically means that this light sensor can tell us how dark it is, right? But if we invert it, then it'll tell us how light it is. So we simply subtract it from the number one to get an inverse reading. Then we're utilizing this thing called a dispatcher. And this is important. Anytime that you have code that's going to modify the user interface, or what we call the UI thread, it needs to invoke the dispatcher if it's running from a background thread. So keep in mind, we are using an asynchronous method, so this could be called from a background thread. And as a result, we need to make sure when we update the UI that we use the UI thread, and that's what the dispatcher is. The dispatcher guarantees that the code that executes within this block, within this run idle async, is going to execute on the UI thread. If we didn't do this, we would actually get a cross-thread access violation. So make sure that anytime you're updating the UI from a background thread, you invoke the dispatcher. And we're basically looking to see what the value is of the progress bar. And if the we give it a value between 0 and 1 that's set to reading. Remember, this value will be between 0 and 1 because we're using a ratio value. And if the reading is less than 0.25, we're going to make that appear red in the progress bar. If it's less than 0.75, we'll make it yellow. And then if it's above that, we'll go ahead and make the progress bar appear green. So this will give us a nice status indicator of what's coming through from our analog light sensor here. So once we've got all of that connected up, the next thing we need to do is deploy this over to our device. So I've actually got mine connected into my desktop right now using an AVR Media USB 3 capture card. And you'll see I have an IP address right now of 192.168.1.182. So what I'm going to do is click from my dropdown to deploy. We need to make sure first that we're deploying to an ARM device. So remember, we created a Universal Windows platform project, so it's not sure whether we're using x64, 64-bit operating system, or x86, 32-bit architecture. It does not know that. So the Pi actually uses ARM, so we're going to go ahead and select ARM. And then we don't want to deploy to device. This is a little bit counterintuitive. We want to deploy to a remote machine. When we select this, this will bring up a dialog that asks us for the address. And so remember, we're going to grab this IP again from here, 192.168.1.182. So I'll go ahead and type that in here. Make sure your authentication mode is set to none. And then this should be all you need, so go ahead and hit select. And if you need to change this, let's say later on you need to change this IP address because you get a different IP or something, or you're testing on a different network, you can always right-click your project. So up here where it says Light Reader, right-click, go to Properties, then you can click on Debug, and here you'll find the ability to modify that information again. So if you got it wrong, you can go ahead and modify it there. So without further ado, let's go ahead and attempt to deploy this to our device. So I'm going to hit the deploy button over here. And I'll bring up my screen so you can sort of see this going on side by side. So you'll see currently I'm building the Light Reader project for ARM. So we're going through the build process now. And hopefully, since we followed all of our instructions, we should be able to get a successful build without any errors. Now the deploy is starting. So we were able to build the executable here, and it's copying the 16 meg exe over to the device now. So we'll just wait a little bit for that to complete. Shouldn't take too long. And once this starts to go over, we'll get an indication here on our user interface that I'm tied into. So you'll usually see like a black X. It should come up any moment now. And just a quick note, if this is the first time that you're ever deploying this application to a device, it may take a little bit longer. Subsequent deployments will really go only off of the delta, so they'll only take into account your changes. So you'll see I've got a little bit of an error here. Can't copy the file to the target machine. And I wonder if that's not a false error. So let's go ahead, because sometimes the very first time you ever deploy an application, you might get an error. This is documented, so we'll go ahead and just attempt to redeploy this. You'll see this time around, it is installing missing frameworks onto the device. So you may see this if on the very first deployment you get an error like what I saw. The fix is to simply try to do it again. You should not see that error ever again. So it just may occur on your very first deployment. And you'll see now I've got a successful deployment. There's my black X I was referring to earlier. And we should get a user interface that's really nothing more than a progress bar indicator. And we'll go ahead and test it. So I do have the lights on in the room, so we're getting some sort of a reading from my device here. I can go ahead and put it closer to the monitor over here, and we'll see if that increases it. You'll see a little bit of an increase. Or, as you would expect, if I cover the light sensor, you'll see that it starts to go down, lower and lower and lower. And due to the threshold, you'll see that determines whether the color of the progress bar is going to be yellow, red, or green. So let me pull something out here, like a cell phone, see if we can't get some more light onto the device. I'll go ahead and invoke a flashlight or something to kind of increase this luminosity so you can get it to the green. There we go. Shining a flashlight right into it, you'll see now I get the green indicator here. Then again, if I remove it, I get yellow. When I shine it, I get green. So there you can see we're utilizing an analog sensor to detect readings of light. And just for fun, you know, really due to the way that these sensors work, we should be able to grab any off-the-shelf sensor and utilize it with this project. So for example, we've got here a gas sensor. This is a popular MQ2, so it can read various different gases, hydrogen, butane, and alcohol. And I'll go ahead and wire this guy up to the sensor, you know, very similar way. So I've got my ground. I'm going to go ahead and pop that one off first. We'll connect that to the ground on this particular sensor. And then I have my VCC, which I'll go ahead and put here. And then I have my signal out. And very similar, even though this is a gas sensor, you'll see I've got a current in the ambient reading. It's in the yellow. I'll go ahead and bring in some 50% isopropyl alcohol. And we'll dab some of this onto a rag, and let's then put that in the presence of the sensor, and you'll see it's going down even further due to the way that this sensor reads. And remember that we did that inverse earlier. It is actually going down in the presence of alcohol. So what you should notice from this example is how to connect an ADC, how to utilize really any analog sensor with the Windows IoT devices library and Windows IoT Core. And hopefully you gained a little bit of experience here in working with user interface controls, for example, the progress bar that we utilized here. And so there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. So hopefully this may seem like a small demonstration, but this is something that the knowledge can be taken further to build even bigger things. And I'd really like to see that. So if you guys do have any creative ideas, feel free to post those on over to Hackster, you know, send me a tweet. Let us know that you're building with this stuff. You know, check out our library. We'd love to maybe even host up some sample projects that use the IoT devices library on our actual GitHub page or in our wiki and documentation. So without further ado, thank you again for watching and happy hacking.